Title: Noise Rise Automation Without Harshness Intermediate. Alright, let's build a noise riser that actually feels expensive in drum and bass. Big lift, wide energy, clean automation but without that brittle, ear-fatiguing hiss that shows up the moment you push the filter too hard or get excited with saturation. This is an intermediate Ableton Live workflow, meaning we're not just making a noise sweep, we're shaping it like a real part of the arrangement, controlling the danger zone around 3-8K, and using dynamic processing so it stays exciting right up to the drop. First, set the musical context, because this matters more than people admit. Put your project at 174 BPM. Decide whether this riser is 8 bars or 16 bars into the drop. In DNB, phrases are everything. A riser that doesn't line up with the phrase logic of your drums and bass tends to feel random, even if it sounds cool in solo. Add a few markers if you like. Breakdown start. Riser begins. Drop. You'll thank yourself when you start automating. Now, create the source. Make a new MIDI track and name it Noise Riser. Load operator. In operator, enable the noise oscillator. Turn the filter on and set it to LP24. That 24 dB slope is your friend for smooth sweeps. Set the amp envelope so the sound sustains across the whole riser. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds so it doesn't click. Decay at 0, sustain at full, and release somewhere like 50 to 150 milliseconds so it lets go cleanly. Then draw a single MIDI note that lasts the entire riser length. 8 bars, 16 bars, whatever you chose. Now we build the chain that keeps this thing clean and controlled. The order matters. On the noise riser track, you're going to add EQ8 first, then auto filter, then optional saturator, then multiband dynamics, then utility, and optionally a limiter at the end as a safety. Let's dial in EQ8 first. This is not the fix everything EQ. It's just cleanup so the rest of your processing behaves. Turn on a high pass filter around 150 to 250 Hz, 24 dB per octave. Noise doesn't need low end, and that rumble just eats headroom and makes your compressor work harder later. Then optionally add a gentle dip in the harsh zone. Often that's somewhere around 3.5 to 6kHz. Make it a bell. Pull it down 2 to 4dB. With a medium Q, like 1.2 to 2.0. The goal is not to make it dull. The goal is to preempt that sandpaper feeling before we start opening filters and adding width. Next, auto filter. This is your main sweep control. Set it to low pass, LP24 again. Now here's one of the biggest rules in this whole lesson. Keep resonance low. Think 0.3 to 0.8. If you crank resonance, you're basically manufacturing an ice pick peak that gets worse as the sweep rises. That's where the pain comes from. Drive can be 0 to 3 dB, but be gentle. We're not trying to turn this into a distorted cymbal. Turn off envelope and LFO. We'll automate manually in arrangement view, because you want this to fit the phrase and build tension intentionally. Automate the filter frequency from roughly 200 to 400 Hz at the start, up to around 12 to 16 kHz at the end. And don't draw a perfectly linear ramp. Musically, linear often feels like it's doing nothing, then suddenly it's all highs. Instead, shape it so it's slow at the beginning and faster near the end, like an exponential curve. A quick Ableton drawing tip. After you draw your ramp, add a point around the middle and pull it down a bit so the curve accelerates late. And also, watch your automation corners. If you draw sharp corners, you can get a zippery sensation or a sudden spectral jump that reads as abrasive, even if the level didn't really change. Smooth curves sound more expensive. Now for the key piece, multiband dynamics. This is how we keep the riser exciting without getting harsh. Put multiband dynamics after the filter. We're going to use it almost like a de-harsh clamp on the high band. Temporarily solo the high band so you can hear what it's doing. Then set it so it only compresses when the filter opens and the top end surges. Start with a high band threshold somewhere around -25 to -15 dB, depending on your signal level. Use a moderate amount. Don't crush it. Attack around 5 to 15 ms. Release around 60 to 150 ms. What you're listening for is this. The riser should still get brighter and more intense, but the very top shouldn't spike and stab. In a busy DNB mix, this matters because your hats and shakers and the harmonics of your re-space often live in the same zone. You're basically making sure the riser doesn't fight for the crown. Next, utility for width automation. This is where we get that lift into the drop feeling without resorting to extra treble. Set the width at the start of the riser to something like 0 to 50%. Yes, narrow, focused, then automate it up. So by the end you're around 120 to 160%. That widening creates perceived intensity without needing more volume. Teacher note here, don't go huge from the first bar. If it's already wide and bright, you have nowhere to build. Dart controlled and exciting. And now, optional saturation. If you want a heavier, denser DnB vibe, add saturator before multiband dynamics. That way the multiband can catch the fizzy junk saturation creates. Turn soft clip on. Drive around 1 to 4 dB. Then compensate the output so the level stays roughly consistent. This is important. Match the loudness before and after. Otherwise you'll think it sounds better just because it's louder. If it starts sounding like spray paint or angry stack, back off the drive. Let the automation and dynamics do the lifting. If you want extra safety, add a limiter at the end. Not to slam it, just to catch an accidental peak when you're experimenting. Okay, now we add the second layer, the air layer. This is how modern DnB gets that shine and space without needing harsh resonance on the main noise. Duplicate your noise riser track and rename it Noise Air. On Noise Air, add EQ8 and high pass it aggressively, somewhere around 2 to 4 kHz. This layer is not allowed to carry low mids. It's just air and space. Then set auto filter similarly, but start the sweep higher. For example, sweep from around 2 kHz up to 18 kHz. Keep resonance modest here too. Add reverb. Hybrid reverb or Ableton's reverb is fine. Decay around 1.5 to 4 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds to keep it from smearing instantly. And very important, high cut inside the reverb around 7 to 10 kHz. That keeps the reverb from turning into harsh hash. Wet can be subtle, like 10 to 25%. Then use utility on this air layer and let it be wider than the body. Something like 140 to 180% can work because it's mostly high frequencies and ambience. Why layer instead of just turning the first riser up? Because the body layer gives movement and presence, and the air layer gives lift and space. You get excitement without having to create pain. Now let's automate so it feels like it's accelerating and tightening. A flat riser is boring. In drum and bass, the rise should feel like tension is being wound up. Automate track volume or gain up by about 2 to 5 dB over the riser. Subtle, don't make it double in loudness. Make it feel like it's leaning forward. Your auto filter frequency should be that accelerating curve we discussed. Your width should rise gradually over the whole phrase. And if you're using saturator, you can automate a tiny drive increase near the last two bars, like plus 1 dB. Tiny. This is a commonplace, people overdo it. The goal is intensity, not a new layer of fizz. Now a really effective drop impact trick. Cut the riser slightly before the drop. Mute it a 16th note early, or even an 8th note early, depending on the vibe. Or do a very fast volume dip in the last 20 to 80 milliseconds. That micro gap creates a vacuum. Your brain hears space, and then the kick and snare feel bigger when they arrive. It's like making the drop louder without actually making it louder. Let's integrate it into the mix, because in DnB the snare is king. If the riser steps on your transients, sidechain it a little. Add a compressor on the riser and sidechain it from your drum bus, or even better, from the snare build track if you have one. Set ratio around 2 to 1, attack 5 to 15 ms, raise 80 to 150 ms, and aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. That way the riser fills the gaps but doesn't steal the punch. Now, extra coach notes that will save you headaches. Monitor the riser at too quiet volume. Turn your monitors or headphones down more than you want. If it still feels aggressive at low volume, you have spikes, usually around 4 to 9k. Fixing that now prevents you from doing desperate EQ moves later. Use spectrum to confirm harsh bands, not guess. Put spectrum at the end of the chain and watch what happens in the last two bars. If you see a narrow ridge shooting up as the filter opens, that's the ice pick. Instead of endlessly carving with EQ, consider reducing drive, adjusting the source brightness, or making the multiband clamp engage slightly earlier. Also, do a quick mono check right before the drop. Hit utility's mono button for a second during playback. If your riser collapses dramatically, pull back the width, or keep the body layer more centered and let only the air layer go ultra wide. That's usually the cleanest compromise. And here's a simple headroom strategy. Your riser should peak under your drop elements. If your drop snare peaks around minus 6 dB FS, let the riser sit a couple dB under that. You're relying on motion, automation, and width for intensity, not raw loudness. Now, a couple advanced variations if you want to level this up. Try a two-stage sweep for the first 70% of the riser. Open the filter up into presence but stop around 6 to 8K. Then in the last 30%, do a smaller, faster push into the air. This keeps most of the build in a safer zone and makes the final lift feel intentional instead of hissy. You can also automate a tiny resonance bloom only in the final bar, but only if your high band clamp is working. That way you get excitement without letting a whistle dominate. If you want to get fancy, use a Q8 in mid/side mode. Keep the mid channel smoother in that 3-8K area with a small, wide dip. On the side channel, you can allow a gentle shelf above 10K. Translation: the center stays comfortable, the sides provide sparkle. And for subtle motion that doesn't add harsh harmonics, try auto pan at a very low amount for micro movement, slow early and faster late, or chorus ensemble on the air layer with a conservative mix, just to make the lift feel more three-dimensional. Let's do a quick mini practice exercise. Make an 8-bar riser into a drop. Build two layers, bi and air, with the chains we talked about. Automate filter frequency with an accelerating curve. Automate width from narrow to wide. And automate volume up about 3 dB. Then set multiband dynamics, so the high band compresses about 1 to 3 dB near the end, not the entire time. Bounce it. Then listen at low volume. If it still feels spitty, reduce a little 4 to 8K, or back off saturation, or make the high band clamp engage a touch sooner. Recap to lock it in. Low resonance and a clean sweep are your foundation. Harshness is best controlled dynamically, with multiband dynamics, instead of trying to carve everything with static EQ. Create excitement by automating frequency, width, and small gain changes, not by cranking resonance. Layer body and air so you get modern clarity without pain. And leave that tiny gap before the drop so the impact hits harder. If you tell me what subgenre you're working in, like liquid, rollers, jump up, neuro, and whether your hats are bright or dark, I can suggest where to stop the sweep, your likely harsh targets, and a width curve that will sit in your mix cleanly.